Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
This is Mark Mortier, and if you're a sports history fan like me, tune in and hear me talk about some great sports moments of the past. Growing up during the 1970s, I got to watch some of the most iconic moments in sports history. Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's home run record. Willis Reed limping out of the locker room in Game 7 of the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden as the fans erupted with a thunderous ovation. The 1980 Miracle on Ice, as Team USA defeated the powerful Soviet Union in the Olympics. Listen every Tuesday on Yesterday Sports.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.
It's time for Unpopular Essays on Sports History with your host, Ors Davis.
Question: why don't Major League Baseball players hit 400 anymore?
The simplest possible answer? Because Major League Baseball players never hit 400. Not in any unasteriskable sense, anyway. What? Those protesting may cry. Since formation of the National League in 1876, 30 players have hit 400 or better a combined 41 times. We all know that Ted Williams hit 406 in 1941, and Artie Wilson hit 435 for the Birmingham Black Barons in 1948. That counts. Well, 1941 was the last American League season before the careers of a significant fraction of major leaguers, including Ted Williams, had their careers interrupted for military service in World War II. 1948 was the first full season of the Negro American and Negro National Leagues, post-color barrier. These leagues would start the 1948 season without not only Jackie Robinson, but also Dan Bankhead, Willard Brown, Roy Campanella, Larry Doby, Hank Thompson, and Satchel Paige. Sure, two major leagues of 12 teams aren't destroyed by the absence of seven-star players, even if five of them are eventually Hall of Famers, but Jackie Robinson's rookie season with the Brooklyn Dodgers opened the floodgates of talent, which gave the American League and National League a potential strength they'd never had before. When Williams hit 406 in 1941, the 16 teams of the American and National Leagues were drawing from a population of less than 60 million individuals. By the time of Williams' retirement in 1960, every team included at least one black player on the roster, even Teddy Ballgame's own Boston Red Sox. The Negro Leagues had folded, and the 16 teams of the major leagues could draw from a potential talent pool of about 90 million in the United States alone. Apparently, all you really need to do to increase your team's talent by 50% is some social equality. Some have suggested that, because of the color line, any statistic in Major League Baseball before Jackie Robinson's debut should get an asterisk. Though Major League Baseball since 2020 has officially counted stats from the NNL and NAL in the record books, statistics are spotty, thus already asterisk-ridden. For example, Artie Wilson's aforementioned gaudy 435 in 1948 was achieved on just 130 known plate appearances, well short of the 275 the modern standard to qualify for the league batting title would require. And after the asterisk apocalypse ravages the MLB record books, we're left with two conclusions. First, that hitting 400 against top-level major league pitching has simply never happened. Concomitantly, the feat seems ever less likely to be pulled off after three consecutive seasons in which the cumulative league batting average has been 245 or lower. Second, Tony Gwynn's 394 in 1994 should probably be acknowledged as one of the finest individual batting seasons in Major League Baseball history. Though it won't be because, don't even get me started on the 1994 MLB season. Finally, here's the really interesting question. Why, at the highest levels of baseball, is 400 the unattainable batting average? This has been Unpopular Essays on Sports History, a production of the Sports History Network. I'm Oz Davis, thanking you for listening, and tune in a couple of days for another Unpopular Essay.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
This is Mark Mortier, and if you're a sports history fan like me, tune in and hear me talk about some great sports moments of the past. Growing up during the 1970s, I got to watch some of the most iconic moments in sports history. Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's home run record. Willis Reed limping out of the locker room in Game 7 of the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden as the fans erupted with a thunderous ovation. The 1980 Miracle on Ice, as Team USA defeated the powerful Soviet Union in the Olympics. Listen every Tuesday on Yesterday Sports.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.